Hello, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Pam. And together we are
Dos
Ticas in Design.
In Design. We are friends, fangirls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
Today's topic is how we bujo. Bujo.
Well, and for those who don't know what bujo is, it's short for bullet journal. Some people might find that a little weird.
No, I totally wanted you to like tell people what bujo means. So yeah, one thing that both of us really like is journaling, and we use bullet journaling as a basis. Like, I use it as a basis for a lot of the things I do. Pam is actually like pretty good at actually doing like the bullet journal method, like legit. So we figured we'd just talk about how we got into it, how we use it as business owners, and how it helps us.
Yeah, it's a topic I really love because I'm really passionate about bullet journaling. I actually have a workshop next week. Next Saturday. I'm also going to be talking at a masterclass for Cassandra's membership program. So I'm really excited about that too, because I'm going to be talking about bullet journaling, because I think everybody should do it one way or another, because you can adapt it. So how should we start?
I think we should just start with like how we heard about bullet journaling. And I think I heard about it first.
You did.
I told you about it.
So I think you should tell us how you heard about it first.
I heard about it on Instagram. I heard about it, people on Instagram saying that they were doing bullet journaling. And I'm like, ooh, what's that? And I'm like, it's like checklists in a way. And I'm like, I like lists. So I started looking into it. I think I started looking into it first on Pinterest. Just like find like ideas and spreads. And then I realized people on YouTube were doing bullet journaling. And that's how I heard about it. And I saw that a lot of people used it in a very artistic way. And so I was like, hey, Pam, I think you'd like this.
Yeah, that was it. I think it was back in 2018. I really wanted to get into like, lettering, you know, and stuff like that. And I think I told you about it. You were like, oh, I think you would like this. And you probably sent me some links or like Pinterest, like pins or something. Yeah, and I tried, because you're right, like my first interaction with bullet journaling was like the whole artistic side, because people do like wonders. If you go in on the internet and you know, Google bullet journal, you will find like, oh my, people do amazing things. And so I tried to kind of just come up with like weekly spreads for my list. At that time I was teaching and I was in desperate need of organization. It was bad. I remember that I had refused planners and agendas and stuff like that for years, because I used to do it when I was in high school, but then I didn't want to anymore. I thought, you know what, I'm a free spirit, I don't need any of that. And then when I was working as a teacher, I became desperate. It was so bad. I had so many tasks and just things that I had to do that I kept forgetting. And so I tried that. It didn't really work out. And the next year I decided to do a little bit more research and I got a special journal and everything. And then I started bullet journaling, and that was it. I eventually, my first year was pretty artistic. I did do like, I remember I had like a Lord of the Rings themed month. That was like my second month ever. It looks pretty bad, but I loved it. And then I also had like a Harry Potter themed month. And then I always do a Christmas theme for December. But that was the first year that I did bullet journaling. I did it the whole year round. And that was it. I haven't stopped ever since. And I cannot live without it. I just can't. If I start a week without it, I'll die. I did.
You like embraced it right away, like absorbed it into your life. Because when I told you about it, I was actually not really doing bullet journaling yet. I had always been the kind of person who like every year would get an agenda. And
uh-huh.
so I like the idea of implementing certain aspects of it. For example, I'd have my agenda, and in the frames, like in the margins of the agenda, I would actually like do trackers of like how much water am I taking, and have like little boxes that I could fill out. And so like I liked implementing some of it. I actually haven't done one whole year of bullet journaling, like straight bullet journaling yet. For 2 years, I implemented it with like whatever agenda I had, like implementing it at the same time. And this past year, I've been trying to work more with digital tools, just because I moved 2 times and there's just a lot of stuff. So I do have a journal, but I don't use it for bullet journaling. I use it for tracking. Like that, I use certain aspects of it, but I am not doing the full bullet journaling process right now. So I kind of like, yeah, I'm a free spirit. I just use it.
You're so lucky.
But I do like that you completely embraced it. And I love seeing your spreads. And I miss this doing the spreads part, because that's always kind of like a relaxing thing to do, maybe like a Sunday afternoon kind of thing. But so I've been using it to do other things instead in my journal, to like do trackers, or right now I'm working on the 100-day challenge where I'm doing it on my journal. So like it's also like kind of like still keeping it in some way, like keeping up with certain aspects of it. But yeah. Podcast, like other than like our stream, most of it is just audio, because otherwise we'd be like, okay, we're gonna share all of our trackers,
right? If the listeners want to check out some of our journaling, well, some of our journals, I do have a few pictures, more like in my older days, but I still post some of my spreads sometimes. And you're right, I did embrace it. I did go down the rabbit hole. For the space of like 2 years, I went deep. I would, like, for the first 2 years, my Sunday evenings and like afternoons and evenings would be to sit down and just work on my spread. And I loved it. But I remember that it was a lot of work, that sometimes I was just tired, and also people kept saying, oh, that's so cool, like I would do it, but it's a lot of work, or I don't have the patience that you have, or I don't have as much time as you do, or I'm not as artistic as you are. And I kept thinking there has to be more to it. And so I did, you know, I kept doing like research, I kept reading blogs. I think it was in 2019, the author of The Method actually came up with a book, The Bullet Journal Method, which I of course bought and read, because I was still deep into it, and it was amazing. The book is really good. I recommend it even to people that have been bullet journaling for a while. The book is worthwhile entirely. Like, it has so many stories, and it talks about the method. It's not just about what you do on paper. It's about the method and what it can do for you. And there's like a reflection process that you're supposed to do, you know, every month, every day. It's just like a short habit that you can bring into your life, and that makes everything you do on the paper worthwhile. And actually, the method, you only need like a notebook and a pen, or a pencil, if that's what you want. I mean, it doesn't really need to be artistic. People just kind of went with it, because the beauty of bullet journaling is that you can do whatever you want with it, according to, you know, even the space, you know, however you want to use it. So people just went with it, and it became whatever they wanted it to become, you know, a planner, an agenda, a journal, an art journal. It can be anything. So yeah, when I found out that it had like a deeper meaning, like a deeper purpose, I loved it even more. And that's when I decided to start teaching workshops.
And I think that's the most common misconception. I think a lot of people think they can do bullet journaling because they're not artistic, or because they don't enjoy like writing on notebooks, using stationery, washi tape, stickers, things like that. But really, that's actually like beyond the point. That's just part of us wanting to make the process more fun and relaxing.
Like a double purpose.
Yeah.
Because,
but I love that you, when you give the workshops and stuff, like you like focusing on like the practical part of it, like how it just like anyone can actually do it. And like, I have not seen an example of it digitally, but I figure like you can even do it digitally if you want to, if you have like the tools for it.
I follow a few people that have done it.
Okay,
and I was tempted to try that this year. I thought about it for 2 whole days and then I was terrified because I am attached to paper. I love stationery, and there is this is something that I learned. I mean, something that I already knew from my own experience, but that has actually like a scientific background. And he talks about it in his book. Carol Ryder, I think is his name. And there is like research that indicates that we have a more meaningful interaction with the information that we're handling if we write it on paper. Now, I think it's been proven that even students who take notes like on a computer, I don't know if it would be the same as if you were writing. Like my iPad is basically paper to me, so I don't know if that would be the same. Maybe not. But it helps you memorize. It's easier for you to not only memorize but to remember it later, like an appointment or something. And it has a different interaction. Your brain interacts with the information. I don't know if it has something to do with the time, or maybe that you're using more senses to record that information because you're touching the paper, you know, it has smell, you're holding a pen, you know. But when I learned that, I was fascinated. And I really think that works magic for me. So I decided against the digital. I was really scared. I was like, it would be a good idea because I use 2 journals every year. I can't just use one. I use it up in like half a year. When I was thinking, you know, the environment and paper, I couldn't do it. I don't know if I ever will, but some people do it.
Go for recycled paper.
yeah, I use ones that are, you know, supposed to be like mindful of the environment and vegan and everything. So makes me feel a little better, but I there's this thing about paper that really helps you. And the reason why I started teaching workshops, this is the third one I'm going to teach, because also it doesn't go like all year round. It's because most of the courses and workshops that I see here where I live in Costa Rica, they focus and they promote like these beautiful journals. And I think they even teach a little bit of lettering with it to make it pretty. And they give you like spread ideas and collection ideas that are really creative. And I think that's wonderful. I mean, that would be something that I would consider taking because, you know, that's the kind of thing that I do. But I really dislike the fact that because this is what you see the most, a lot of people think that it's not for them. And it bugs me because it was originally made to be very simple. I mean, I do it that way and I love it, but I hate when people lose sight of what the original idea is, even if it's not my idea. So I think I still have to do a better job of promoting what I really want to teach people about bullet journaling, because mine is not that simplistic. I mean, it's okay, but it's not. I mean, it was so much work at the time that I considered to stop. And then I was like, no, I can't stop doing this. So I came up with a spread and a method that, seriously, I have my weekly spread done in 5 minutes.
Wow.
What takes me longer is to just, I mean, unless I want to do something like more artistic, which I don't usually do because I do it on Sunday evenings. It takes me longer to just sit down and plan and write down all my tasks. So I do it really quick because I want it to be practical, not only pretty. So yeah.
Okay, I think I have 6 comments. I've been like trying to like keep track of them. Let's see if I can remember them.
Oh, you should have interrupted me.
No. Let's see. Some of them are like kind of like smaller and important. The cat behind you, I keep thinking it's my dog. I keep thinking like, why is Wendy moving so much? And I'm like, wait, that's not even my screen.
You can see my cat? I wanted to move them, but they're just sleeping.
So weird. That's comment 1. Comment 2 is also pretty short and quick. I was actually looking up the book to put it here in my to-do list because I got a library card again. Yay! So I'm like, let's put it in my wish list. The author is Ryder Carroll.
Ryder Carroll. Yeah, the other way around. Thank you.
Okay, that's two comments. I have four left. Let's see if I can remember it. First one. I like that it kind of compares a bit to design. Like a lot of people think design is just about making mm-hmm. something pretty, but design is also very much about making something functional mm-hmm. and making something efficient. And a lot of people forget that aspect of it. They only focus on like the aesthetic. And I feel mm-hmm. like that happens to bullet journaling too, which is probably one of the things that just like connects it very much. Mm-hmm. I mean, bullet journaling is design. It's finding a way that it's efficient and systematic and that has a purpose and lay it out in a way that's easy to like do or and understand. Like it is pure design, but mm-hmm. people just always misunderstand what design is, so they misunderstand what bullet journaling is as well.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's just something I was thinking of while you were talking about the whole method. Three comments left. Oh, what comments?
You can do this. I'm really impressed that you remember half of them already.
I'm already starting with the quick ones. Oh dear.
Oh, the method.
Yeah, I can remember the other ones.
The spreads.
Talking about.
Takes me 5 minutes.
The functionality of it.
I hate it when that happens.
I know. You know what? I can remember. So let's just move on. If I remember, I will just like.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
A lot of
faces, yeah, so make a sign. Yeah, do that. Yeah.
Because like the thing is like I didn't want to interrupt you either because you had a really good flow of thoughts. I should have just like grabbed like a sticky note and write down what I want to say.
No, but you can do this.
Yeah. But I think that was like the main one, like just like remembering that's just how design works as well. And this is just like a very pure representation of what design is.
Mm-hmm. I think that the writer, I think if I'm not mistaken, because I haven't read that book in a little bit, he has a background in design. I actually think he's a graphic designer. I don't know, but he had some experience with it. And it's just really, it is really linked to journaling too, which here you have a little bit more, I want to say experience. Would you like to talk about your background in like journaling?
Oh dear. actually, that reminds me of one of the things I was going to say. Okay. So I have this course called Find Your Brand, and it is very much about, I call it intuitive branding because it's all about connecting with like understanding how your mind works and using methods that make you explore your mind better. And so we use journaling as a big part of it. Like I tell people to like to use that as part of their process when they're putting their brand together so that they can really get all of their ideas out, because sometimes we have a lot of ideas and it's hard to explain to others what you're picturing. And so by writing it down, you can like, because sometimes it's even hard to explain to ourselves what we're picturing. We just have like mm-hmm. so much in our head. And so like writing it down, letting all the ideas out flow. You can either do like brainstorming style or try to write paragraphs, but it gets all your ideas out and then you realize what the best way to explain it is like. So that's a lot of how I use journaling. But what I wanted to say before about this comment is that when in that course in Find Your Brand, you get to the point where like, okay, we're going to start working on the aesthetic. And so I tell people like, yeah, they can like try to do a Pinterest board, but if they really want to connect with their brand, if they really want to get it like from like inside of them, the best way is to actually get something manual. Like even if it is like finding images online, printing them out and cutting them out, or like going through magazines, or just like creating a collage, because when you are like cutting the things, you're touching them, you're like organizing with your hands where things go, it's making things in your brain connect differently than if we're just like putting together a board on Pinterest. And so that process relates very much to how like bullet journaling works for like, it is different when you do it everything by hand, because our brain is just acting different with it. And so that reminded me of my course, and like how that for like, I recommend, like, if you have the time, try to do it by hand, because as you are like cutting, as you're working, more ideas come up to your head. That was one of the thoughts. Another thought that I also had, I think this is the last one. I think I remember them all.
Wow, I'm so impressed.
The one reason why I usually like keeping digital and hand is very much about how you said, like, about like if we're doing it by hand, it's easier to remember, because like it's on top of our minds. I haven't done this in a while, but I used to keep something very similar, kind of like a simplified bullet journal for my business. And so I've always done like my long-term planning on Asana, because it's easier to like be like, oh, I have this idea, we're gonna work on it on September. So it's like 8 months away. It's not worth trying to like plan that out on my notebook, because it's just gonna get lost in the pages. So I put it in Asana and I'll put a date in July so that I come back to it. But then I did like doing weekly, every Monday I used to do weekly sheets for my business, because then throughout that week, I would have top of mind whatever I had to work on that week. And so like, I would just not forget about something, because when you have to like actually write it down, assign a day to it, then it's in your head. Like you just remember it much easier than if you put something digitally, assign a date, and then who knows when you come back to it. Like if I don't check Asana, I will forget about it. But if I don't check my bullet journal throughout the week, it's less like they'll forget about it, because on Monday at the very farthest, I had to put it in. So
That's cool, because I'm really proud of you for remembering. Yeah, I promise really I would not. I mean, I would have remembered when we stopped recording, because that's my memory. But I love it. See, like, you're still doing bullet journaling, because you're still doing your list, and you found the way that it works best for you.
Well, I was doing it. I actually stopped doing that last year.
No, well, never mind.
I'm trying to move it digitally. Yeah, no, like I do miss that part, and I do feel like I forget about things more, and I have to check Asana more often, because I forget about things more. But I'm still like in a momentary situation, and I have a lot of my courses like out there, so I'm like trying to not create a lot of stuff. I still have my business journal, but I don't do like weekly things anymore. I just put on like things like I need to get out, things that I need to plan out. I did do like a super quick content calendar on Sunday, just because I needed to like see it visually, like how I wanted to like set things up for like this launch that we're doing. Like what days am I going to put on the blog? What days am I going to put on Instagram? When am I going to go live? And so I actually did actually plan out and like did my whole calendar here on my journal. But now I work on it more like on a whatever I need at the moment, which isn't always like, which usually misses some. Like I do miss that, like every Monday sitting down and planning my week. But I'm trying to like survive without it.
Well, the thing is that we evolve, right? That's something that I learned with bullet journaling, because I think it was really close. I was really close to just not doing it ever again. Because, well, first, it wouldn't turn out as I expected. Like my spreads weren't as pretty. And then one day I was like, I'm not going to stop doing it just because it's not pretty. I mean, who sees this, right? It's just for me. And so it taught me to be forgiving of myself. That is so funny. To like, it doesn't have to be perfect. You know, it only has to work. And that's why I started learning more about it. But then I also learned that I had to experiment to find what worked best for me. And some people, and I used to do like all sorts of spreads that I don't do anymore. I used to do like mood spreads and mood, like a mood tracker. And I used to have I can't remember what else. Like, I had a bunch of other spreads that were so pretty, but they just didn't work for me. Like, I wasn't using them. And I hate having things that I don't use. I don't know what that means, what it says about me. But if there is anything that I have, like a thing or an object that I'm not using or ever going to use, I feel bad. So I stopped making those spreads throughout, you know, the last few years. So you evolve, you experiment, and you find what works best for you. And I have changed the way I do my weekly spreads a couple of times already because of how practical they are to me at that point. There was a time last year where I was only doing like daily logs, just like every day. I wouldn't even do a weekly spread. I would make a list of tasks for the week and priorities. And then I would just write down Monday and then the date and then start writing my tasks on bullets. Like, and that would be it. And then the night before I would write down, and wherever I left off, I would write down the next day and just go on like that. I did that for a little bit. And now I'm back to my weekly spreads. So I think you also have to remember that, you know, things can change up a bit as long as you remember to reflect on your process and what you're doing.
And I think that's what I love about this. Like, everybody can really adjust it to whatever they need and whatever they're going through, whatever fits their schedule. It's very, very flexible. Let's see. Should we give some examples of like trackers or so that we're using right now?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be fun to talk about. Do you have your journal right there?
I do. I always have my bullet journal on my desk.
I have like my journal, which is what I've also used for bullet journal, and then my work journal.
So pretty.
And I love that. Like, I got this one like 2 years ago. And this one I actually got from a podcaster where I was a guest. She sent me a present, really? Kind of like as a thank you. Nice. And she sent me this super beautiful. And I love that they kind of go together so well. Like
they do. They look wonderful. I know.
I love it. For the people who are not seeing the stream, my journal is just like a turquoise teal color. Big like US letter size journal, and then my business journal is like half the size, and it's like in like a little like peach, and it has like peach roses, but it has leaves, and the leaves are more turquoise than green, so it's similar to the same kind of turquoise that my journal has, and so they look like they go together in a way, and I love it.
They look pretty nice. I mean, from far away it looks like imagine.
No, I really like it.
It's meant to be. Well, I think that I every year I only do my annual log where I have like a view of the whole year. I use an index, and then I always have a collection for just things that I have to pay for every month, subscriptions like Netflix and stuff like that. Because we take turns in my family to pay for it. And I'm the one that keeps track of it. So it's on my journal, just because it's easier. And then what I do is I send them a picture of the collection so they can remember when they have to pay for it. And then that's pretty much it. I used to do other things like courses that I was taking because I do a lot of online learning, like Skillshare and stuff like that. But because I changed journals in the middle of the year, I stopped doing that. I don't keep a list of books that I've read either. I'm actually considering getting a whole journal just for like reading, like taking notes and stuff like that. I don't know. And every month, the only thing that I do is I always do a monthly cover. Like I take my time and do a cover only with the name of the month. So here's my January one. Like I do lettering or calligraphy or something with a little calendar. I need to know when the moon phase is going to happen. And then I only have like a monthly log with the days so I can write down plans and like appointments and stuff like that. And then I have a habit tracker that has a sleep tracker with it. And that's it. And then I start my weekly spreads.
That's it. let's see, I'm just looking at, because 2019, I actually did pretty well, and I had a ton of trackers and stuff like that. And I had like a whole page that was just like, with a lot of like trackers, like tracking, like if I walked, if I did meditation, exercise, self-care time, balanced breakfast, journaling, meal tracking, early start, as in like I woke up on time. And it was just like a matter of like check or not, like it was like a page long. But I always like, well, some months I did really well, like I would do well for like a week or two, and then the rest of them are like empty. So I feel like it kind of felt like what you said, like I'm not using this as I should. So like I stopped doing that. And I started working more on just like yearly trackers. Bless little Sarah 2020 beginning hard, because I had like my goal for 2020. Like the first thing I had was like road trips.
Oh, and I had like, Sarah.
I had like,
oh, that's so sad.
I had like going to Mexico, going to Costa Rica, like a lot of times I'm like, yeah, well, like that didn't happen.
Now I'm gonna cry. That is so sad.
It's okay, it's not my fault. It's not anyone's fault, really.
I think that's why it's so sad. Because yeah. It's just kinda sucks.
Like now it's like, hey, those trips still owe me. And I had a book reading challenge. Which like here it says I have 12 books out of a ton, but I actually read way more. But the thing is, I started keeping track on just like Goodreads on it.
Yeah, that's what I did too.
I had this exercise for lipsticks challenge. I wanted to get this set of lipsticks that I really wanted. And I'm like, okay, if I finish, let's see, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It was 30 days of exercising every day. I think it was supposed to be like 5 days in a week. So like it could be like any 5 days during a 7-day period. I could go and check it. And if I finish by this date, then I could go and buy that lipstick. And I actually finished that one, and then I started another one that says exercise for holo challenge. And with holo, I mean like holographic nail polish. And that one, see, like that one started in March. And I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dots colored out of like a ton. So I think you can kind of tell where COVID hit and everybody lost motivation for anything.
Even yeah. With,
like, my actual. Because I was still doing like bullet journaling the beginning of last year. I have here my January spreads, February. And I started March. And that's when I finished it. I feel like I didn't like it happened. I don't think it's a coincidence that I just kind of stopped during COVID and was like, okay, no, time is flying too fast and I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm just going to stop here. But
yeah, it makes sense.
But so other things that I've kept, I did try to take like a lot of like courses and go to a lot of workshops and things like that last year, because I felt like my energy was just like out of control. Like I couldn't contain it. I was feeling just like always tired because of whatever, everything that was going on. And so I started to like sign up for any workshop and stuff that I could go. So my journal went from like being a bullet journal to suddenly just being like a lot of notes of things that I was attending,
just the journal
challenges that I was taking. And then I have like a little wrap up of 2020, and it's titled 2020 was crazy. And then it's 2021, and I did something then for the first page of 2021 that I had never done before and that you've seen already, is that I put my vision board on this journal.
Oh my gosh, yes. That's so pretty. I love
having my vision board on this journal. Like I just open it, and especially after all these pages, like where it stopped being nice and colorful, and afterwards it was just text and some notes here and there, and then suddenly you come to these two pages where I have like all this flash of things that I printed and cut, along with words that I like. Some of them were cut, some of them I wrote myself, and there are things like, my goal is to fall in love with everything that I am, stop living on autopilot, start living on purpose. My happy place, I'm happy with myself, and a lot of things like that. And I just love my vision board. And so it changes the whole tone for 2021. And so like, I actually have not done any bullet journaling this year at all, but I started like by choosing like a word for 2021 and I put the letter, like I lettered it all out. I put underneath like what goals I have related to that. Then I have like a family motto of the year, like what thing we're gonna focus on as a family.
That's fun. I love it.
I drew some of my goals. We actually did that in a session together. We had a journaling session with our sisters. And
yeah, I think we've done it for like 2 years. Yeah.
And then the next thing that started is my 100 days challenge, which is daily affirmations. And so like now I have like the spaces out for that. And I feel like I'm just using it kind of like with how I feel like I want to use it this year.
That's perfect. Because I don't know, like about that, that was a real struggle for me. I just want to mention that because I saw your vision board and I made one too. I'm like in this mastermind that Sarah holds and we went over it and I was like, I have never like actually done that on paper. And it was so much fun. And I also have it on my bullet journal. I did it like at the beginning of it and I printed out like even like family pictures and everything. And so I showed it to a couple of friends and they went and did one too. just because I just feel like it's good. It's just not good. I mean, you can have a word or like you can download an image from the internet, but just like cutting it down and putting it on paper and everything is just is so different. And what you were saying about using it for whatever you want to use it for, that was my biggest struggle because the first time I had to buy a second journal in the year, I was like, oh man, I didn't know this was gonna happen. I wanted to use a whole journal for the whole year, you know, not only because it's cheaper, but also just because in my mind, I wanted to have everything in one place. But first of all, it's not possible. If you use weekly spreads, you can't. I have counted, I have tried, but you can't. But I would have to like work on saving space a ton. And that's something that bugged me. I didn't want to restrict myself from what I wanted to use the journal for. Sometimes I don't have anything to write with, to take notes for a project. Or whatever, I use my bullet journal if I have it with me. Sometimes I'm somewhere else and I don't have like my actual journal to do journaling. I have used it for like a journaling entry. You know, I used to use it more, but then it was so much that I decided to take out my journal again because I have one. And so I'm making more time for like only journaling, you know, and I think, well, it also started with the challenges that you did last year, which were amazing. And so now it helped me kind of just go back to journaling, which is different. You know, journaling, I have always done journaling. My dad gave me my first journal when I was 7. So I have a bunch of really embarrassing ones because I used to just... oh my gosh, they are embarrassing. It's funny though, because they're like drawings and just like... candy wrappers and just like fights with like friends when I was a girl, like a little girl, crushes that I used to have when I was in high school. It's like really stupid, but it's just like a record of my life. And so I stopped doing it and then I would only like journal like 3 or 4 times a year. Like really, that would be it. But I would always have a journal to like summarize the year or when I was feeling like really sad about something. But last year, I think it was, thanks to bullet journaling and then the challenges that you were doing, I realized how much I needed it. And I would like, not only bullet journaling, but journaling frequently has changed my life. I cannot do without it. And I think 2020 has something to do with that. Like, it made me realize that my mental health really needed that. And I also wanted to mention, I hope you're taking notes if you have thoughts, because you haven't interrupted me and I've been going on for a while. That
I only have one thought so far, so it's okay.
I forgot what I was gonna say, so go on.
Oh, I know. No, well, if you want to hear embarrassing journal stories, like if you go back to the journal that I had when I was like 9, 10, actually more like 11, 12, it's actually even more embarrassing. I would like summarize the Dragon Ball Z episode I watched then.
Oh my gosh, that's priceless.
Like today I was watching Dragon Ball Z. In this episode, Goku went and did this and this, and Trunks did this and that. And I'm like, wow, Sarah, that's what you're saving for your posterity. But now that you're
I'm
mentioning,
sorry,
like,
that
it's good, right? It's a good story.
is so good. It's good, it's good.
But yeah, now that you were mentioning, like, yes, I've had, like I said, I'm a list person. I had my agendas. I think 7th or 8th grade, I started like buying a yearly agenda, and I would do lists every day, like on what I wanted to do, on homeworks that I had to like finish, on anything else. Back then I was already very much into websites, so I would like write down on what website I wanted to work on and what I wanted to improve here and there.
Cool.
And I always felt bad because I felt like I was supposed to be writing a journal. I felt like I was supposed to like be writing down my story, because that's kind of what grown-ups tell you, like, yeah, you should write down what your story for when your like grandkids want to read your journal. And I'm like,
That's what you have
I'm
social media for now.
well now, but back then we didn't. My grandkids can go try to find my MySpace.
Oh my gosh.
I think this is the second time. This is like our third episode. And no, it's our fourth episode. No, third episode. And it's the second time we brought up MySpace. That's just us dating ourselves.
Yeah. I
But
wanted to keep it a secret or a mystery for a while, but it just came out.
see, now looking back, I have agendas from like since I was in 8th grade, like a yearly agenda every year until I was like 26, 27. And I'm like, maybe I didn't write a journal and my kids are not gonna know like what I watched that day. But they're gonna
Oh
know what I
no.
was up to. They're gonna know what projects I was working on. They're gonna know what classes I was taking, because I was like writing down in my agendas like the daily things I needed to do. And that makes me actually treasure them. And so I have a whole box just here that's full of like agendas and journals, and that's just for my time living here, which is like 7.5 years. Back at my parents' home, I have like another big box full, where I have like all my agendas and schedulers and stuff from all my high school, middle school, and all that. And Dave, I feel like that's kind of like the testimony of my life. That's what has been documenting what I've been up to, even if I wasn't like, dear diary, today I did this and this. No, like, I have my lists, and that's how I'm like showing myself to the world as a person of lists.
That's right. I love it too because well, I also have all that somewhere. I think I have moved so much that I have thrown some of them away. Because some of them drove me crazy. I think they had a bunch of. Did you ever hear of Pascualinas?
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
So that was a
Oh,
planner, like an
somebody cute.
agenda. And she was a witch. And so it had like, it was adorable, but it was also like for teenagers. So it was really like romantic. I don't know. It was weird.
Cool,
And
edgy,
so,
cool.
yeah, I
Cool.
don't know.
What do
And
you
when I
think
was
is
in
like
high
cool when
school,
you're 13?
yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's like it's really
Honestly, I would
busy.
still think it's kind of cute and cool.
It is adorable. It really is adorable. And she and like it has like comics throughout the agenda, you know, the planner. And so it was really in, you know, when I was in high school and everybody got it and I already had the habit of getting a planner or an agenda for Christmas. And so I wanted that one and I got it. But it drove me nuts. It was really busy, you know, the pages have a lot of and I stopped using it. But then I remember I had Harry Potter ones. They were really good. They were so pretty. I had a couple of Lord of the Rings. They even came out with a Narnia one. Like they all came out after the movie.
Oh,
I got
cool.
them all. But
Were
they were
you
useful. They were just pretty.
the one who bought me a Doctor Who planner?
No.
Or did I buy it for
Maybe.
myself? I don't know.
Well, no, I think you got it for a planner or a calendar. a planner, so I remember getting a
like a yearly planner, and this is like college Sarah.
Yeah, I remember. No, I didn't get it. I think you got that for yourself.
Okay, really proud. I probably got it myself, but yeah, that was a cool one.
Good job. And so when I came across bullet journaling, it was perfect because I can do it. It pleases me, you know, not only even if you only want to use like one color, one, you know, your handwriting in that type of paper, it doesn't matter what you do. It, you know, it suits you. And his theory is that, you know, the method of the bullet, the bullets on the journal, they help you plan for the future, record what happened in the past, but more importantly, they help you stay present,
mm-hmm.
live in I the like present. That. And something that happened to me was, and this is what I wanted to comment now that I lost my thought, remember, is that I don't know if you can relate to this, but sometimes I feel like I have, my mind is really busy and loud, and I have a lot of things, like I'm thinking too many things at the same time. I think this happens a lot to INFJs. So I think this happens to you too.
Yeah.
It's a different topic. But anyhow, when I've read about INFJs, which we both are, it says that we have really busy minds, that we always are thinking about like a bunch of little things. And this is me, like so much. And so when I'm writing everything down on paper, it helps me. It stays there, you know? It kind of leaves my mind for a little bit. So when I'm working, it really is very useful to have it right next to me with a pen. And if I'm thinking of something that I have to do, that will usually just distract me to the point that I stop doing what I'm doing and I start doing something else, which is horrible because then your time is all over the place. I just make a note, make a bullet, write it down right there on wherever that day. And then I know that it has to be done or go to my future log or whatever. So it has helped me a lot to take things out of my mind to focus and be present. So it really is a practice in mindfulness.
Yes, and it actually, like, it is very relatable. I have that sometimes where sometimes I like, I know I have work, but I don't even know where to start. Like, I know I have to do something for a client, mm-hmm. and I have to do this and I have to do that. And unless I sit down and write things down,
mm-hmm.
I won't be able to just like work. And sometimes what I do is like, I actually grab a sticky note. I have a ton of sticky notes. So I grab mm-hmm. a sticky note. Also, like, I don't buy sticky notes. I just somehow get them.
Really? I just got this whole block of them. Yeah, I also get them, but I also buy them.
I get them like as part of a present, or someone is like, do you need sticky notes? And I'm like, sure. And so I have like tons of sticky notes, but like I rarely suspicious. Buy them. So I grab a sticky note, I make a list. Sometimes I grab like three sticky notes and divide things, mm-hmm. like things I need to do mm-hmm. for me, things I need to do for a client. And then afterwards I go and like organize it in Asana. But like first I need to do it by hand.
Uh-huh.
And then
uh-huh.
I can put it in a digital planner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably how I kept myself sane without doing the bullet journaling by hand, is just by doing it like on sticky notes and then putting it on Asana. But like, because I do feel much better, like it, I can take it out of my head unless I write it down.
Isn't that amazing? Like, seriously, I'm sure a lot of people will relate. If you write it down, it's right there. It's not in your head anymore. It's amazing. I think it's amazing. Mm-hmm. That has also helped me a lot with journaling. Only in the last month have I really started journaling as frequently as I wanted. And it really is working, because sometimes things bother me, you know, stupid things, feelings, you know, that you can't just talk about them, or you can, but they still bother you. But if I write them down, they kind of just, you know, it's easier to let go, or easier to just kind of either understand them or overcome them. And that's been really magical.
Even mm-hmm. if it doesn't solve things.
Exactly. Journaling is amazing. I swear, everybody should journal. Like, everybody should. There is no excuse. Like, there is no reason why no one has a good reason to not journal.
In my work journal from last year, you can even see it where I have like sketches of like if I were to design a co-working space, how would it look like? Because I just had like this idea in my head and I'm like, I want to sketch it out. And you know, I hope that kind of works as some sort of manifesting, like maybe someday I'll own that place. That'd be awesome.
I was thinking about that yesterday, about the co-working space, the idea that you have. I just feel like I have to move to, we have to live in the same state, you know? Or, well, state would be more convenient, but country or something. So we can do that. And all the murals we're going to, anyway, that space will be really cool. I know. But even for dreaming, you know, journaling helps you write like things you want to do. And no one reads that, you know? And you're not worried about being judged or, you know, reprimanded or anything.
To whoever you want to, and that's it. But one thing that I think is kind of interesting is that I have two different separate journals. I have one for work and one for personal, but they actually overlap quite a bit. Sometimes I start writing about like, okay, why do I have this mindset about this problem at work? And what I end up writing about actually has nothing to do with work. It has ended up like something that happened to me like years ago when I was a kid, and somehow that reflects to me now this way. Or sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes I'm writing about like, okay, what goals do I want like this year? How do I want to grow as a person? And I end up talking about like new business services that I want to offer or things like that. It just overlaps a lot because like for me, like my brand has become my lifestyle, kind of like my goals for my life are very similar, like are pretty much my goals for my business. And so there's a lot of overlap. And I think like, that's okay. If you want to have a journal for both, that's normal too. Like,
yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm really glad you mentioned that because I started last year with two different journals and I ended up with one. I decided to just use one up for this because of that. And sometimes it would bother me that they were not separated. So what I do is I do a little star. If it's like, I start writing about something personal and a little brush if it's like about business specifically. But you're right. They overlap so much. It's crazy. That's why I use my bullet journal for both. And so what I do is I have two columns of tasks in the middle. Well, I don't know. Like, I don't know if you can see it because it's a blackout, white and black. But what I do is I have a column for business task and the other one for personal. Because I need to have them on the same space. I need to have them on the same journal. Because I have two, it distracts me. I want everything on the same place. But you're right. I mean, they're separated. They always tell you, like, separate, you know, your life from your business. And yes, I understand. But they also overlap so much because it's your business and it's you. You go into your business a lot, you know? Like,
business is like ours. We are branding ourselves.
Yeah. We're
kind of branding our life. And the thing is, like, yes, you need to find a work-life balance, but at the same time, we live in an economy where, like, usually everything's about work, 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 and that's why you have to, like, learn to separate things, because otherwise you're going to be consumed by work, unless you make your business not just be about work. You make your business be about dreams, and you make your business be about how you want to develop yourself as a person. And when you have that kind of like, then it starts being more overlapping, then it's not as bad if like things overlap a lot. And another thing is, and we've talked about this a lot off camera, is that I don't know, I would say like 99% of the times you have a problem in your business is because you have a problem in your personal life. Like when you have a block in your business, it's because you have a block in your mental health. Like, and that's why they go together so much. And this is like a complete different topic, but that's because your journal can help you find those things for yourself.
Like, it really is. I think something that I was journaling, so I'm gonna confess to something. Because I get so nervous before we record, I journal for a little bit.
That's nice.
About what I want to say. And it's really short. It's only like, it's not even a whole page. Mostly, I don't know what I'm going to recommend. So if I do a little bit of journaling, I come up with something that is really meaningful to me. But I was journaling just like an hour ago. And one of the things that I love best about journaling, whatever it is, but especially journaling, not just like your bullet journal, is that it helps you just feel your feelings, you know, just be present with your feelings. You can't escape them. You have to write about them, you know? And that has been really helpful to me, because sometimes you have a feeling that you're feeling, it's right there and it just blocks areas of your life, but you don't face it. You don't channel it. You don't process it. And so it just keeps affecting you. So I think that's been really helpful to me. And it helps me be present too, and just let go of certain things that sometimes are blocks, you know, mm-hmm. especially for me, creative blocks, if I'm honest. So yeah, journaling has been very helpful for that.
I love this topic, and I think we could continue talking way more, but we're going to hit the hour, so we probably need to start wrapping up and talk about the other stuff. So
yeah, let's do that.
Let's just move ahead with the recommendations. I actually have two recommendations and one clarification.
Okay.
So the first clarification, actually, is something that I want to say earlier and I forgot. You mentioned that in my mastermind we had done that, like we were working on our like goals and vision boards and stuff like that. I have to give credit to someone else for that, because I actually I am part of Cassandra Lee's and the Quickly Pineapple Studio. They have the Content Studio membership, and so back in December, well, that's the group where you're gonna be. That's the group where Pam's going to be giving a masterclass later this month.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But in that group, back at the end of December, I think it was, Cassandra brings like different experts every month to give us like a class of something. And so she actually brought in someone to do our vision boards. And so we worked like an hour and more to work on vision boards together. And we did not, like, that's not where the idea came from, doing the vision board on your journal. They were just like, bring something where you want to create your vision board. And I'm like, well, since I'm in between places, I'm going to do it in my journal. But Cassandra actually also did it in her journal. And that was the first time that I was part of a vision board session. And it was a lot of fun. And the lady giving it, she actually usually does this like as like vision board parties in person. And I'm like, that's gonna be so awesome. But like, we made it work via Zoom. It was a lot of fun via Zoom. We had such a great time, and we had music and everything, and everybody just working on their own stuff. It was a lot of fun. And so through that, I'm like, yeah, we should do something similar in the mastermind. And so in the mastermind, it was more working on goals, but interpreting them in a vision goal, which we did have a class about vision boarding last year in the mastermind as well. But I feel like this one was more on hands, because I had that experience of doing it on hands as well, and I really loved it. So I wanted to like send the credit over there as well, because that's a pretty cool group, and I get a lot of awesome stuff from there. So it's kind of a recommendation too. It's called the Cognitive Membership by the Pineapple Studio.
Cassandra's great. It must be a great membership.
Cassandra is awesome. So the other two recommendations I have, one of them is like one recommendation that I was thinking of already before we did this episode. I have a friend, her name is Adrian, and she is the owner of Spark Your Muse. Right now she just has an Instagram account, and she's like a coach for creators and artists to help them find that spark again. And she releases every week new journaling prompts. And she comes up with like amazing prompts that like sometimes I haven't thought of. And I love that. She used to post them on her Instagram account every week. Right now she's posting it as Instagram stories. And she has a highlight called journaling prompt, where you can go and see all her journaling prompts. And then in the link in her bio, you can also sign up, so that at the beginning of each month, you get them all via email. And that's actually what I did the moment she released that. I'm like, yes, sign me up, because I love her prompts. They always make me think of things that I had not thought about. And I'm a very prompt-based person for journaling, just because I love journaling on what's like whatever I'm feeling right now. But often having a prompt makes me think of things that I had not thought of before. I love that she has these prompts. I feel like they help a lot. So if anyone wants to get into journaling more, I totally recommend going that way. And like the prompts are not just for artists or creatives, like they really apply to anyone. And she usually has like one prompt per day, but you can go and choose to do whatever you want. And then as we were talking, I remembered something else that I thought would be a good recommendation. And this is for the people out there who are like still thinking like, yeah, but I'm not creative, or I don't like having to sit down and set up my agenda to be able to do bullet journaling or things like that. I had a journal once. My first work journal was a weekly scheduler, and it didn't have any dates. It just had like a lot of like weekly planners set up with like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and you could put on your own dates. And so each spread was a different week. And so if I left on vacation, or if I was like not working for 2 months or whatever, it wasn't pages that got wasted, because I know a lot of people don't like buying schedulers, agendas, or some planners, because they're like, yeah, I end up not using most of them, and then I end up throwing it away with only a couple pages used. What I love this one is because they don't have dates, and they're just by the week. So like you can either use it 1 week or you don't use it 1 week, and it doesn't matter. You just put a new date and continue using it. And so the one that I got is by a Spanish designer called Charuca, C-H-A-R-U-C-A. I'm a big fan of Charuca. Also, her story is only in Spanish. sure you can also find other ones, but I just love her style. You can go to charucashop.com, and she has, she just designed stationery. Actually, Pam, you would love to check it out. It's just
stationery. Oh, I am right now.
She has normal planners with like dates and everything, but she also has these dateless planners where you can just put your own dates, and it already has like, I don't know if this one has it, but like the one that I had was just perfect. It had just like spaces for every day and just the lines, and I could just go in and put the dates, and it worked really, really well. I really liked it. So if anybody like is like, I don't like the design part of it, but I really would like the organization part of it, this is a solution. And like, I'm sure she's not the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there creating planners where you can put your own dates. So like they take care of the design part and you can just have fun. Or you can
reach
out to Pam and she will design you a whole planner too. I think Pam would totally be good at doing that.
No, that would be fun. Thank you so much. I love those. I'm actually checking Charuca up right now. And
I love Charuca.
This is beautiful.
So
these are beautiful.
Oh, well, the people who can't see it, like who are not on video can see it, but I have this little bookmark that I use in my journal, my current journal, that came with the agenda that I originally bought from her, because it had this kind
of
design.
Oh, really? That's cute. I love it.
She just has the cutest.
She has one for bullet journaling.
So cute. You know, I haven't been on her store in a while. I bet she has a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, she has a dot grid one.
That
sounds like good paper.
I'm just lucky because I have family in Spain. So when I order from her, I just had it shipped to my sister. Well, actually, but then it was my mom. And then I picked it up. I know with COVID, it's kind of sad because I can't order anything because I don't know when I would pick it up.
But she does. She has a dot grid and they look beautiful. And the paper is pretty thick. So that would be really good for anybody bullet journaling.
I mean, she's pretty awesome. She's also a graphic designer. She's a woman and she's Spanish. So if you are checking out designers that you don't often hear about, she's an awesome one.
Thank you for that recommendation.
Sure.
I'm really excited. So I actually have another recommendation for someone who designs notebooks. I have mentioned this before. So last time we were talking about stars, I mentioned Archer and Olive. And so that's my favorite notebook so far. I think I've used 3 or 4 different ones, and those are by far my favorite ones. If you live in the US, I think it's, you know, easier to get them. but you cannot find them on Amazon because I used to buy on Amazon. But anyway, they are excellent quality, very thick paper that holds even paint and watercolor. Like if you're into art, she even has a notebook that is made of paper for watercolor. Like it's crazy. Like they're just really good quality. But the reason why I want to, she also has, like Sharuka, she has planners that have like the layout, just planners, not only like dot grid notebooks. And she has collaborations with other designers that have like really colorful covers and stuff. So there's a lot to choose from. And she came up with this pencil I need to try. I just haven't bought them yet. But anyway, the reason why I love her work so much, and I follow her on Instagram, well, one, she has two cats. I love cats. They're called Archer and Olive, actually.
Oh,
And her story is really cool because she started journaling when she was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and anxiety. And she just, you know, journaling changed her life so much that she decided to kind of spread the love that way. You know, she came up with like really good quality products to help people, you know, organize their life, but also do journaling and stuff like that. So I think it's really meaningful that, you know, her story is very meaningful to me. And also I love these notebooks. Like this one that I'm holding, the one that I bought this year, has three different types of paper. It has white paper, craft paper, and just blackout, like just black. Like it's beautiful. And now I don't know if I want like an all white, all craft, or all black, but she has them all. So I recommend Archer and Olive.
I have to get my hands on one of them. I know that the moment I touch it and I feel it, I won't want to go back to the
notebook. Yeah, be careful.
I got a journal from like Walmart.
It ruins you. It ruins you for other notebooks. So. So yeah, I really recommend that. That would be it.
Okay. So everyone, you have tools now to go and journal your life away.
Do it.
Have fun.
Do it. Yes.
All right. So before we close this episode, we're just gonna quickly talk about what we've been up to. I'll start again. I actually have been working on my website. There's been quite a couple of issues coming up with a plugin that I use as part of my main basic thing. It's not giving me a problem on any website that I manage, only on my own. So it might delay my website coming out. I was hoping to have it come out next weekend because we want to release two new services. And so we wanted to be able to have the website ready to release those services. We might release them without the website.
Mm-hmm.
But this upcoming weekend is Valentine's Day, and so we want to focus on like relationships, and what we are all about is about your relationship with your user and making sure it's an amazing experience. So we have a service coming out that is about user experience, and we have another service coming out that people will be able to book with up to 3 biz besties. It's kind of going to be like a little personal retreat where you get to bring your 3 friends, and we're doing it via Zoom. So we're not saying yet exactly what the services are, but we'll be releasing those services next week. Whether our website is ready or not, hopefully it is ready, and we'll be able to have a whole landing page ready so you can find all the information easier. And if not, all the information will be on Instagram. But yeah, it's going to be fun. These two new services that are based on relationships, really. So you
get fun. That's really cool.
The month of love and friendship by showing love to your users, to your clients, and to your biz besties.
How fun. I love it. Can't wait.
What are you up to, Pam?
I am prepping for a mural that I'm painting on Friday. And I have a workshop, a calligraphy workshop in person on Saturday. So I have a busy weekend.
Busy, yeah.
And yeah, that's that's all I'm working on right now. And trying to catch up with my 100 days of lettering because I'm already behind. So, yeah, I know. But it's been fun anyhow. So, yeah, that's it.
That's the important part.
I know. It's really important.
I'm also kind of behind. But the thing is, like, I committed to only report once a week. So I can just catch up right before and report
then. Smart. Smart. Everybody knows I'm behind. But that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. Also, I wanna see that mural process. I hope you can like share some of the process on Instagram or so. That'd be awesome.
I will. I'm supposed to finish it in one day.
Oh wow.
Yep. It's pretty big, but it's like white on black.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping I do have to go back a couple of days later. To treat the wall because they use paint for like blackboards. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm supposed to do it in one day. I've never done a mural in one day, so wish me luck. But I will share some pictures.
Oh, maybe you'll start like releasing a lot muraling in a day kind of design.
Oh, like, shut up. That's terrifying.
One day service.
That would be fun. And then mural in 2 days, maybe. Or well, it might be possible. It depends.
I'm going off topic again, but I do know of someone who, like, I think I told you last time, who holds a conference every couple months about how to create a service in one day.
Uh-huh.
She's doing conference. I think it's like in April. I will let everyone know when that's happening because I attend every year. Not every year. She started last year, but she's done two so far, and I've attended both of them. So I'm looking forward to the third one.
Definitely tell us about it.
You please. Can develop your service in a day, kind of thing.
Yep, I will. That sounds really good.
I think that's it. Anything else you want to add?
Nope, that would be it.
Journal away, everyone. Thanks for joining our conversation today.
We'd love to hear your take on this, so make sure to follow us on Instagram or Facebook. Our handle is 2 Ticas in Design. So yeah, you can share your comments there.
See you on social media.
Bye.
Bye.